myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
The sun comes up and meets the dawn. As usual, when I awake, I hope MLB and the players will meet. As usual, but as they stood there telling lies, the tears began to fill my eyes. Please strike a deal before spring training, you greedy guy.
Welcome to the Long Gone Podcast. It is me, Michael, and with me as always, the singer,
Yes Man. What up?
Steve Ford.
How's it going, man? A little Brenda Lee there for you. A little early 60s country little action there for you.
I was trying to figure out, I was like, what song is this? Like,
I like to pull some out there. It's Brenda Lee. I think it was from 63 or so, 62, 63. A little deep dive there. She did more than Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. So, yeah.
That's what's up. Get a Brenda Lee.
Yeah. So, here we are another week and another no deal.
Another no deal in Major League Baseball. What the hell is going on, man?
Well, knock, knock. No one's there. They met again today, and I guess the talks were a little bit heated. I'm reading a tweet here that said today's 90-minute meeting between MLB and the MLB Players Association was heated. Some owners and players participated. The Players Association made moves in two areas, service time manipulation and pre-arbitration bonus pools, dropped requests from $105 million to $100 million to be determined when next core economic meeting will be.
Wow.
So, sounds like they didn't make much ground and basically left in a huff and puff. Great.
Yep.
I believe MLB is still at $10 million for that pre-arbitration bonus pool. So.
Of course they are. Bunch of fucking babies, man.
Really?
So, what do you think is... little progress has been made. So, what are you thinking? Strike?
Yeah, I'm...
When does it get to that point? When does it get to that point?
It's got to be getting there soon. I'm... I'm shaking my head here. I think a strike... I hope a strike's not imminent, but we're getting near... 2 weeks from now, a little over 2 weeks, is when pitchers and catchers are supposed to report, and we're supposed to start having games here in less than a month for spring training, I believe. I'm definitely thinking games, spring training games at least, are going to be missed. It's not looking too good, my friend.
it's looking absolutely fucking horrible. I mean,
yeah.
And the fact that these, man, we keep talking about this fucking lockout, and it pisses me off just to always start our show. And it's like, come on, I wish we could start a show where it's like we're finally going to play.
A deal is done.
But yeah. In here, you got two babies kind of going at it. And I look at this. I just don't know. What makes me the most mad about this whole thing is there's no sense of urgency. And you and I have talked about this a few weeks ago. There's literally no sense of urgency. So the two sides go in and meet and they bicker, piss and moan. Little progress is made. Then they separate for weeks again and then come back together. It's like I've seen more faster of a pace in a divorce. Than I've seen trying to get a fucking deal and how to split billions of dollars.
Yeah.
I'm so mad about this.
I mean, when's it come time? Can we get like a mediator in for both sides here to be like, and just start working things out that way? Something needs to be done here because they're not getting it done on their own meeting face to face here. So, something has to change here, and it's fucking pissing me off because it's 1994 all over again. Just get ready.
It has that stink to it.
Yep.
It just has that stink to it. And at this point, everybody, everybody who's listening to our show, everybody kind of understands the points that we hope you understand, the points that each side's trying to make. There, if you go on ESPN or if you go on MLB.com, they'll give like a FAQs about what's going on right now, and yep. they'll give you updates, which is really good. But no matter how long much you study it, you just shake your head and you're like, okay, well, they're just not coming to terms mm-hmm. and they're way off on how to split the money. It comes down to fucking money. It always comes down to money. And here yep. we are sitting again, bitching, pissing and moaning about this just not getting together. And at this point, I think it's safe to say, like you said, they're probably spring training games are going to be missed and we're getting very close to regular season games are going to be missed.
Yep. Yep. I think so. And then that's, I think, when you're really going to start seeing the fans get pissed off, because you're not seeing too much backlash from the fans right now because it's February and you're, you know, run of the mill fans that don't pay attention to spring training. They're like, oh, yeah, I still got plenty of time. The right. regular season doesn't start till April. So, you know, but if it starts getting near like St. Patrick's Day or something like that, no deal's done yet, you know, and that definitely, you know, people are on the field or should be on the field, then I think that's when you're going to start seeing a lot more fan backlash.
I agree. People are still in that football mind. They're yep. in that, you know, Super Bowl, NBA's obviously and NHL are going. So yep. everybody's minds are obviously not everybody's, but the majority of people are like, okay, it's whatever. And then plus we had that little Hall of Fame stuff to kind of keep our minds occupied. But I think the majority of people are kind of looking at this like, it will get done when it gets done. But I don't think a lot of the newer generation understands that. This reeks of what happened yep. with the strike in 94, and we're going to be faced with it again potentially. And if that happens, baseball's fucked.
Yep. Like, yep. Because, so you know, based on what we've seen these last couple of weeks, you can still see NFL's king when it comes to sports and, yep. and all that excitement. And you keep fucking around and keep shooting yourself in the foot, MLB, you're going to keep continuing to be behind NFL and NBA.
I agree.
Sports NHL might start taking you over, guys. See where fucking look at.
Well, I mean, their marketing looks a lot better.
Yeah.
Recently, even the way I see the NFL is being marketed.
Yep.
It's so unique and it's so. It's like, does MLB even like realize like what's going on? I mean, you guys got to market. You guys got to spend the dollars. You got to promote your stars. Yep. You got to put this game out in the forefront somehow. And maybe they are in their own little way, but I feel like that there's just too many business people running the show yep. and it needs to be baseball people running the show.
Right.
And I feel like that's what this game is missing right now, is that it's a lack of baseball people running the show. Like Manfred, where the fuck has he ever played?
Right. God. Yeah. He's just been cooped up in his lawyer office all these years, you know?
Yeah.
Trying to figure out if he can drive a car through the gap in his tooth or, you know, something like that.
Right. Right. I want like a ball player that
yeah.
as a commissioner. I want that front office should be primed with former major league stars. And I think that's the only way you keep the game moving forward.
Yep.
But unfortunately, it's ran by businessmen, and it's always been run by businessmen. And I feel like that's the big disconnect here. So mm-hmm. anyways, yeah, so that's where we are with that. But good news, there's other things happening, of course. Shohei Ohtani is yeah. the new face of MLB The Show, or like they like to call it, the show experience with Shohei Ohtani.
The Shohei experience, yeah.
Yeah.
No surprise there for me yeah. when I saw the voting out there for who should be the face of MLB the show for 2022, I was like, it's got to be Ohtani. You
know? Yeah.
I mean, good for him. Are you going to pick up a copy?
Oh, for sure. For yeah. sure. I've been without it for the last, what, couple of years almost.
Okay.
So
yeah, I picked up 21, the Jackie Robinson special. So I'm debating whether I get 22. We'll see.
Yeah,
most likely I will.
It just depends on where they're at, I guess, with the strike or with this lockout. yeah, I guess it just depends. Yeah. Because I always wondered like how they like make those games. I mean, clearly they make it well before the season, so they had right. to have made it last year And they obviously they're going to regurgitate or recycle some of the stuff they've already had in place with that, you know, on that platform. Yeah. But the stories they're going to talk about, because you got to talk about updated stories that happened in the 21 season. You get a lot of the announcers have to, the broadcasters have to come back and re-record some things. I've always wondered how that always goes down. But when it came to voting, because we had Tatis 1 year last year, right? And then now this year's Shohei, which I like, man. I think it's
perfect.
It's good for baseball. It's good for their brand, of course. And I'm glad that they're marketing a star such as Ohtani. I think that's
wonder if they're gonna have alternate covers, like one with pitching and one with hitting. That'd be fucking sweet, right?
Who would you? You're talking about this. Oh, the same.
Yeah.
Because he plays. Oh my God, that'd be what a great idea that is.
Right.
That's a great idea. I wonder if they would do something like that. Like maybe if they go over. So. Maybe if they like say the American version, right, is like him hitting, and then when they go overseas, like Japan or whatever, it will be him pitching.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think fucking sweet. Oh man, but I think it's pre-sales right now. It comes out. We'll see when it comes out. You can pre-order it now though. So
yeah.
Yep. It's pretty freaking sweet. And Jackie Robinson's birthday was that yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, Jackie Robinson's birthday was the 31st. So it was yesterday.
31st, yesterday.
From the time of this recording. It's just crazy. He's been gone this long. He's been gone since what, like 72, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Yep.
And It's just crazy. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's cool that before he passed, he got to go into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I've been looking at a lot of his numbers because you and I shortly here are going to be talking about the some Hall of Famers. So
that we are.
I always think looking at his stats, and one thing like he's never had stats that blew you off the page. One thing about Jackie was he was just a good hitter. He got on base, and he was like Ricky Henderson. He could just his best stuff came by moving around the diamond. So I always thought that was pretty cool. He was a good fielder. You can play almost any position, even though he played mostly second base, but in his time in the major leagues, he was just a great player. So if you're looking at the all time greats, does he rank up there? Probably not. In what we're going to talk about in my opinion, but just because of stats alone, but as of just being historical and just being such a crucial part of the movement in civil rights. I just think it's he's just a monumental in my eyes.
Yeah, with his gift to the game is without question. I mean, yeah. We wouldn't be where we're at now without him. So I love watching 42. I love reading about his story.
And yeah.
Just, the type of person that that he was. So.
I do.
Go ahead.
Did you the movie 42?
Yeah.
It's funny you say that. I was watching I always watched the trailer. There's this really cool trailer they put out, you know, before the movie was released back in 2012, I want to say, or 11. And it was Chadwick Boseman, who obviously the late great Chadwick Boseman, who was playing Jackie. Which what a perfect guy to play Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
And I just. It makes me like, I'm going to watch that movie again. I actually own the movie on DVD, and I just love that movie. But that trailer, they had like Jay-Z, like talking about, oh man, it was just so good. And it just gets you into it. And I think that was a movie that was so overlooked because when it first came out, people are like, man, Harrison Ford is way overacting Branch Rickey. Like,
yes, that's what I thought too.
And when I first kind of seen him, I'm like, Jesus, ease up, man. Like, you're kind of like, you look like you're making an impression of like an old drunk or something. I want you to have the guts not to fight back, you know?
Oh, man.
Sounds like Mickey off of Rocky.
For Rocky, exactly.
The old Mick, you know? And you're going to crap thunder, you know?
You're going to eat lightning, you're going to crap thunder.
That's what he kind of sounds like. And it's like, but when I looked at the trailer and then I like, you know, and I go down that YouTube rabbit hole and I look at scenes, I'm like, man, that movie is actually really good because there wasn't really a movie that has depicted Jackie Robinson.
Right.
In that way. And I just, man, it was just kind of cool looking back on that.
Yeah. I love that movie. I remember I saw it in theaters. It was, when it came out, Celebration, one of our favorite radio people, the huge one, Bill Simonson, was giving out, giving out tickets. So, I stopped by Celebration Cinema, was able to get, some tickets and some free popcorn. And, that's how I was able to check out the movie. So
you, you've seen it in the theaters. That's cool. Did you, was there anybody in there when you were,
in there? Yeah. So it was a, so it was a full house. I went with, my girlfriend, who was my wife, who's now my ex-wife. Well, you know, go down that road. Exactly. And we went to the show, and it was a full house there. So it was cool, and just it was like, a special screening of it. I think it was even before it was coming out, or it was the week that it was coming out. So a couple of days before it came out. So it was awesome to see. Yeah.
I wish I could have seen it in theaters too. That would have been amazing. I think I waited. Well, it was actually my brother and I, this is a funny story. My brother, Mark, and I, my youngest brother, Mark, he and I were actually going to audition for the movie.
Oh, really?
As extras, yeah, because they were holding extras down in Georgia. This is where they shot it. They shot it down in, just outside of Atlanta, and a lot and stuff around Atlanta and what have you. And Mark and I were like, "Dude, let's just go and do it. Let's go audition," because they were holding tryouts and things. And we're like, "Yeah, we could totally do this. We could probably play better than the fucking Chadwick Boseman, you know?"
Yeah, right.
So yeah, we were going to do it, and we never ended up doing it. I forgot why. I know, it was back in 2012, so I forgot what we were doing, but we ended up not doing it. The year before that, I was in the Wizard of Oz. So I was let's go be extras in this. And it never came to fruition, but I always thought it'd be cool to like wear one of those old uniforms.
Dude, that would be so sweet. And then try and steal it afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you'd be like, yeah, be like, all right,
this is mine. All right,
I had a great time.
Walk off wearing the jersey.
I'd be like, guys, hey, the director is Brian Hegland or whatever. I'm like, hey, it was great to see you, Chadwick. Good shit, dude. All right, start the car, Mark.
Start the car. Speaking of, I still need to get a signed copy of my Oz the Great and Powerful Blu-ray. So,
Let's go.
Since you were an extra in there.
Yeah, a featured extra. What up?
That's even better right there, man. Yeah.
I had one line that they cut out of the fucking movie, which makes
is in the extras zone?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I never seen it on DVD. I only seen it in the
theater. Son of a bitch. All right, well. I'll have to go through the extras on my Blu-ray and see if it's in there.
Yeah, my line was, "The troops are ready, sir." And I remember that line, and I was like, oh. And then where they would have put it, I'm like, oh, I can see why they cut it out, because it wouldn't make sense. And at what, where they ended up playing the movie. But I was laughing. I was like, yeah, it was just good. That was a pretty good experience. But and then we ended up getting, the yellow brick road bricks. Signed and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, we like everybody got a brick. That was pretty cool. But nice. I thought it would have been dope to be on the 42 set. Because I was always jealous. Remember that movie that came out 61 with Barry Pepper and Thomas Jane as Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris, that Billy Crystal. And they shot those scenes in Detroit at the old Tiger Stadium at Briggs Field.
Oh, wow.
They transformed Briggs Field before they tore it down, of course, into Yankee Stadium. So they would like spray paint the seats like green how everything looked. And then they digitally put what Yankee Stadium would look like at that time.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. And I remember I was in high school, I think it was a sophomore, and they were having tryouts to be on those teams, the extra, a ball playing extra. I wanted so bad to do it, but of course I couldn't go down there. So I don't even know if I had my license at that time, but I thought that would have been fucking cool. Can you imagine being in a movie like that?
Oh, that'd be so fucking fun.
Oh my God. You're playing somebody that used to wear those kind of jerseys and play on that field. Oh my God.
That'd be so fucking sweet. Well, and you were saying the Jackie Robinson, his plaque, that was vandalized, has been sent to the Negro League Museum, which is probably a good place. I can't believe that someone nowadays would vandalize a sign like that.
But it's crazy. So the news came out. So the sign that he had, this plaque, and it was erected out in 2001. The plaque was it was in Cairo, Georgia, which is the birthplace of Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
And they've had it out there, obviously, for 20, 21 years now. And then the plaque and it was honoring Jackie Robinson and it was vandalized. I mean, somebody from what I seen, they, I mean, we're trying to like take out some of the letters on there, spray paint, the same bullshit you see, which is really sad. But one thing I thought was pretty cool is the Negro League Hall of Fame that's in Kansas City decided to give us the plaque and we're going to put it in a museum and we're not going to refurbish it. We're not going to clean it. We're going to keep it as a reminder as what hate looks like.
Wow.
And what Jackie Robinson fought for and what he had to go through. And I thought this isn't getting talked about enough, but I thought it was a great, this story. And I thought it was a great move by that museum. I thought, man, it's sad. It's incredibly sad.
Yeah. That this stuff still happens to this day.
Yeah.
I love that they're, it'll serve as a reminder of the ugliness here in America that still persists to this day. That's awesome.
And it sucks. Yeah. You don't want to say it keeps him alive, right? You want to say this is what he stood for, because I wouldn't want somebody pissing on my gravestone. Then they go put it in a museum or something. And we're going to remember Michael Dalt from this person pissing on it, them defacing his plaque. Is, I don't think he wants to be remembered about the hate, but it is a reminder of what he stood for.
Right.
And I always thought that's cool.
Yeah. And all that he had to overcome, which you see a lot in the 42 movie. On a daily basis, what he had to go through. It's just unbelievable. And he just continued to persevere and fight and definitely just made the world a better place because of that. So
I couldn't have, you said the best. I totally agree. And that's one thing I think in our lifetime, he was never alive in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. We never got to see him play. Thank God there's YouTube. Thank God there's ESPN there's Classics back then.
Ken Burns Baseball.
Oh, and Ken Burns Baseball. I think that was the first time.
Ken Burns made a documentary on Jackie Robinson too. Didn't he
did, yeah. Yeah. And as you remember in Ken Burns Baseball, that was like I forgot what inning that would have been in. I think inning four or five.
Like the sixth or somewhere in the middle.
And I think that was when that documentary first came out in the early 90s, that was the first time I really understood or even knew who Jackie Robinson was because you're kids, right? I mean, when you're kids, mm-hmm. your parents teach you about certain things, but they're not going to teach you everything. And especially when it comes to race, that's a hard thing to talk about. It wasn't like their way of teaching me was to watch the Ken Burns documentary. It was just a thing that was on PBS and was like, oh, let's watch it.
Yeah.
And I remember being just so enamored with him, with Jackie Robinson and what he did on the field, what he did off the field, and the big risk he took by playing with a bunch of white players. I mean, it was just unseen, unheard of at that time.
Yep.
And it happened. And see, that's all the days of good commissioners like Happy Chandler. He was the commissioner at that time. That's when, you had good commissioners and that just brought forth the game into a whole nother realm. And that was how I first learned of Jackie. And it's crazy that, we look back, his birthday being yesterday. Crazy we look back, and you do these birthdays at the end of these shows, and some of them you kind of like after the show or even during it kind of sit and think, like, because your birthdays that you put that you have heavenly birthdays too, like, hey, this person has passed, but you do it all the time. And I love that. To me, I think it's an important part of the show just to remember how great those people were. So that's the way I look at it.
Definitely. I will definitely be talking about Jackie at the end of the show when it's birthday time. I have another person we'll be talking about as well. But Wow. So happy birthday. Heavenly birthday, that is, to Jackie. I like kicking the show off that way.
So keeping with the past players of the great game, because I thought it'd be interesting to do a then and now series. Now,
love it.
I always see ESPNers are coming out with their 50 greatest major leaguers of all time. I swear they do that shit every year, and it's always a fucking list.
Yeah,
but obviously they did it around this time because the Hall of Fame, and I think they lined it up with Jackie's birthday and what have you, which is really interesting. I thought, and I was looking through our old shows, and mind everybody, this is our 45th episode.
Woo.
But I thought it'd be cool to do it then and now. Let's pick our greatest top 25 players of all time, starting from 25 going to 1, and then the now portion of the show we'll go kind of what MLB Network does. They have the greatest catchers now, the greatest first baseman now, the greatest, you know, it's about today's player who we think are top five at that position.
Right.
So I thought it'd be cool to do kind of a then and now series for the next 5-6 weeks.
Love it. I love this idea. This is fantastic.
Man. Let's fucking go.
Let's go. I love it. All right. Whew. You know, this is fun. You know, just trying to go through, you know, because we're, you know, going a little bit different than what, like, you know, normal writers and stuff. You know, a lot of what I'm picking is fandom of, you know, people I like to watch, not only what they accomplished on the field, but people that were, you know, interesting to watch for myself. So I'm looking forward to us comparing these lists. As
I am too, because I always know kind of what your favorite players are. Cause I remember, you and I were talking, I think a couple Fridays ago, and I said, let me guess your top five musicians or bands of all time. And I kind of got it right. There was one that was kind of flip flop between, I think, the Beach Boys and the Temptations. I always thought that was cool, but I'm really interested to see who your top 25 greatest of all time players are.
Okay. Well, this is a buckle up. I'm same with you, my friend. I'm ready to go. I'm going to kick things off with 25 myself, a Mr. Met, Tom Terrific, Tom Seaver.
Let's go.
Oh yeah. Oh, what a great way to kick things off. You know, Tom Seaver, just a fantastic pitcher. When you think New York Mets, at least for myself, if you think about Tom Seaver, obviously 311 wins, ERA under 3, a 12-time All-Star, 3-time Cy Young Award winner, a Rookie of the Year, World Series champion with the Miracle Mets there in 69. Just a fantastic pitcher, and I think a good way to kick things off for me there at 25. Who are you looking at for your 25th?
Well, mind you, I went back and forth so many times. You're not going to see this throughout my whole list.
I was going to say, I was watching the you know, the rundown. We have this on the Google Doc that we share, and I was like, oh, Mike's switching up his top 25. You know, like even coming up before the show, you were like flip flopping on what you wanted to do. So,
well, here's a funny little thing before I say my 25. So I got done with my 25 list, and if you look, Steve, I actually made other rundowns.
Yeah, I did. So you,
so we filled them out. You know who I forgot my top 25, and I was kicking myself, so I had to redo my top 25.
Oh boy,
is Hank Aaron. I totally forgot to put fucking Hank Aaron in there, and I'm like, how do you forget Hank Aaron?
Spoiler alert: he's in my top 3 in my head right now.
I couldn't believe I forgot Hammer and Hank, man.
Oh man.
So just to kind of go with kind of talk to our listeners here, Steve and I have taken a lot of things into consideration when making this. Obviously, we're looking at stats. Stats got to be there. Obviously, we're going to look at accolades. Accolades have to be there, but obviously we don't think they're as important as stats sometimes, or I know I don't. I never, you know, we actually, and this is kind of a precursor, we put known steroid users in here.
That's tough.
That was a tough one for me thinking, because I was like, man, do we put them in there? But you kind of have to, because until that asterisk's in there, until we kind of figure out what's going on that side of how to handle the cheaters, these guys still did play and they put up big fucking numbers, and they were very important to baseball. Yep. So you can't erase that from the pastime. They are there. So I thought, and because I had question marks by a particular person's name, so I know, and then you erased yours after I erased mine, and I was like, yeah, it's probably best that we put them in there, because that way people aren't going to be, well, where's this guy and where's this guy? I'm like, listen, fucker, they're not in this one, right?
Yeah, sorry, deal with it. Yeah.
We also take into consideration the fan love and our love for the players as well. And then obviously individual, we choose individual over team performance, because there's some guys who just were on a good team, a really good team, and they were just like, for instance, I'm going to be honest, like, I didn't put Yogi Berra in my top 25, but he was on a good team, right? It's hard to put him in that top 25. A lot of my top 25 guys, and I'm looking at your at least top 25 to 20.
Yeah, I'll get the rest of them in. You're just extra credit for you for putting your whole top 25.
Yeah, I had a very uneventful day, so I decided to fill the rest out. But I thought these guys individually, and I know you'll do that too, where it's individually, they were really good. So We'll probably update this list. I mean, Christ, if we're on in 5 years still, yeah, I imagine this list will be updated. Because there was a few I wanted to put on this list that are still playing, or a couple that were on this list that are still playing. And I'm like, I just can't. I can't do it just yet.
Yep.
Which we'll talk about in our last Then and Now series episode. So,
right.
Tom Seaver, great fucking selection. I love Tom Seaver. My 25 is Ricky Henderson.
Ooh, okay.
Ricky's great, man. If he didn't play as long as he did, obviously he wouldn't have got 3,000 hits. No. He wouldn't have got over probably 2,200 runs and is over 1,000 RBIs, because there was a gap there where it was like, boy, Ricky, you might want to retire because you're not doing really good. You were kind of slugging your way. The last 5-6 years, he was kind of slugging his way to the finish. I think 98 being like his last like really good year. So Ricky Henderson is there for me. I really like Ricky Henderson. One thing that makes Ricky stand out is not his accolades. I mean, he has won an MVP in 1990. He was 10-time All-Star. He won the World Series twice, which is really impressive. But with two different teams.
That's what's up.
So, but one thing I always thought that made Ricky stand out is how he could change a game when he was on the bases.
Yeah.
When he was with teams, with those Oakland A's teams that couldn't, there were some of those Oakland A's teams, not the McGuire's and all them, where they couldn't hit him over. So Ricky was stealing his way. You know, when you wind up from on first to third, every time you're in out there, it's all you need is that single or sacrifice to advance the run. And he has made more career runs off because he was being able to get to third base or second base. And I don't think anybody on our list has influenced the game as much as he did on the bases. And that is why he's my number 25 pick.
Fantastic pick. Spoiler alert. You might be seeing him here in a little bit from me.
Let's go.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, Ricky Henderson, he reminds me of Lou Brock. What, you know, get him on first, he'll get to third on a single, you know. Yep. He steals. Fantastic baseball player who can change the game just by getting on base.
Yeah.
24 for me, speaking of steroids, is Alex Rodriguez. I know. Let's go.
First surprise.
Yeah, I know, right? Just from my standpoint, I talked about it before when we were doing our Hall of Fame show. I enjoyed watching Alex Rodriguez, especially when he's with Seattle into his Texas days. He obviously has the steroid cloud over him, but career 295 hitter, over 3,000 hits, almost 700 home runs, a 14-time All-Star, 3-time MVP, 10-time Silver Slugger Award. He even won a batting title in 96. You can't deny, you know, his offensive numbers. Obviously, it was clouded with the steroid use, but just a fun player to watch. I enjoyed watching Alex Rodriguez, and not going to lie, I enjoy following him on social media. He's an interesting guy, and I enjoy listening to him talk and sharing his stories. And yeah, so he came in at number 24 for me.
Good player. Very good player. 24 for me is Pete Rose.
You said you looked like Pete Rose.
Spill it, show tunes. I mean, Steve are big King of Queens fans. If anybody knows that line, you'll know that's where it came from. Pete Rose, man. I look at a lot of lists, top 50 lists, 100 lists, and there's some where Pete Rose cracks a top 25, and sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes he doesn't because obviously the gambling and what have you. But I think if you really look at Pete Rose as a player, there has been, I mean, he has the most hits of all time. That's such a record. I just feel like he has to be on just for that record. But at the same time, he's hit over 300. Now, if he was hitting like 280, 290, 270 something, I probably wouldn't have him on this list. But the fact that he had over 4,200 hits and he has over a 300 average, and he has the accolades to kind of go with it, he definitely belongs in my top 25 list. I mean, the man is Charlie Hustle. Yep. My dad, when I was young, used to always tell us to hustle like Pete Rose, you know, Charlie Hustle. Yep. And so we'd always want to hustle like Pete Rose, because the guy just played. I mean, this was a guy that ruined Ray Fosse's career in a fucking all-star game. And he said, because he plays hard all the time. It's like, bro, it's an all-star game, but that's just the kind of guy Pete Rose was. He played hard all the time. He wasn't the tallest guy. He wasn't the most muscular guy. He didn't have the biggest power in the world. He wasn't the fastest player in the world. He didn't have the best glove in the world, but somehow he made it fucking work. He just did everything right. And I have to put him on my list because he means a lot to me. He's a 3-time World Series champion, 75, 76, and 1980. NL MVP in 73, World Series MVP in 1975, Rookie of the Year, 2-time. I mean, we can go on and on and on. The man has the accolades to back it up. And I know it's kind of controversial, just like us putting the steroid users in there. But for me, number 24 is Pete Rose.
Don't deny it. The guy fucked, man.
Oh, he fucked hard, dude.
Oh, totally.
He was an aqua. What was he? He was a what, man? An aqua.
Aqua Velva guy, I believe.
He was an Aqua Velva.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Man, those commercials creep me out from the 70s. Any event. For me, at 23, got to go with Mr. Mustache himself, Wade Boggs.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, the guy, just he's a hitter. A career 328 average, over 3,000 hits. You know, it didn't do much as far as power, only 118 home runs and,
right.
You know, didn't really drive in much runs at 1,014. But he was a guy that could just consistently get on base. 12-time All-Star. Obviously, won that World Series with the Yankees in 96. 5-time batting champion. But when your career batting average is 328, you're doing something right.
Yeah, so bro.
Just a consistently great hitter and, fantastic time there, obviously in Boston, won his title there with the Yankees and finished it out with the Rays. But for me, Wade Boggs coming in at 23 for me.
Yeah. Well, Wade Boggs, he was one of Tampa Bay's first stars
when they
were an expansion team. And one thing, another great thing about Wade Boggs, kind of going with the steroid aspects, he is a guy that will never vote for a steroid user. He is so against steroid use, he will never accept somebody like A-Rod or Barry Bonds or any of them in the Hall of Fame.
Yep. Yeah.
Good player.
So, Wade Boggs, man. Yeah. He hell of a player.
Hell of a player. Hell of a mustache.
Oh, dude.
My number 23 is, I feel like I did this his a little too early, but kind of comparing him with others and the teams he was on, I mean, kind of taken to what we said above with the numbers, accolades, all that stuff, fan love, individual team, or blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go with Frank Robinson.
Ooh, okay.
It's a little early. I know on some lists, he's in that 20 to 18 to 16 kind of thing.
Right.
But for me, he belongs on everybody's top 25, to say the least. This guy was not only a great manager, but he was a great player. He was just shy under, he almost had 3,000 hits. He played from 56 to 76. And he almost had those, you know, that's a 20-year career and he almost was at 3,000, but he just couldn't do it. But he had over 500 home runs, over 1,000 RBIs. He has played for many teams. And I think he is, and tell me if I'm wrong, is he the only person to win an MVP in each league?
I believe so. I think you're right on that. Or at least he was the first. I believe you're correct.
Because he won the NL MVP, I believe, with the Reds.
With the Reds, yeah. And then he went to Baltimore.
And then he went to Baltimore and won one with them. And this was in the 60s where, I mean, you're talking about Mickey Mantle, Brooks Robinson, Willie Mays. He played in a great era of baseball. And that's another thing I took into consideration when taking my list is the era you played in is huge. Right. Yep. Like somebody like Joe DiMaggio, like and Ted Williams. Remember, Ted Williams took some time off for World War II. Joe DiMaggio, he was killing it.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's like, but some of these were scab players. These were players that didn't go to the war. So you were missing a lot of stars still. So anyways, but Frank Robinson, I mean, 50s and 60s, he was the dude.
Yep.
I mean, you can't contest what he's done to the game, not only on the field as a player, but also in the dugout as a manager. For me, he sits easily in my top 25 and definitely right now at 23.
Definitely. Spoiler alert. You'll be seeing Frank Robinson on my
couch. Good. I'm glad I'm glad somebody has him higher because I feel bad for not making him that high, but
There's so many good players.
I know
it's really hard to rank them, but you can't deny not only what Frank Robinson did as a player, but also as a manager, becoming the first African-American manager in Major League Baseball.
Yes, that's another one.
Yep, the barriers that he broke there. So fantastic pick there. Mm. Coming in at 22 for me is Mr. Pine Tar himself, George Brett.
Hey.
You know, you can't deny George Brett had a nice mix of hitting as well as power. He had over 300 home runs, over 1,500 RBIs, career 305 average, over 3,000 hits. Michael and I talk about loyalty. He's a lifer, spent his whole career with the Royals, a 13-time All-Star, World Series champion. He won an MVP, an ALCS MVP, won a Gold Glove, a few Silver Slugger, and a few batting titles. The guy did it all. I remember him joking around saying he was happy that the Pine Tar incident happened, because before that he was known as the guy that got hemorrhoids in the World Series. Just a fantastic player. And when you think Kansas City Royals baseball, it's George Brett. So George Brett's my player coming in there at 22.
Love George Brett. Remember that that clip about him talking about a shit he took?
When he pooped his pants.
Yeah. When he crapped his pants, and then he actually went and shit, and he was like, "Yeah, he said it was a railroader."
Yeah. Oh man, I felt sorry for that player that he just had to come up to and just did that random conversation with,
and
right?
And the player he was talking to kept like trying to inch away from him, and he's like, "No, man, I gotta tell you. It's not one of your regular size ones. This thing had a tapered off at the end perfectly." I was like, "Bro, what is happening right now?" Yeah.
Oh man.
Fucking.
Fantastic baseball player.
Fantastic baseball player, takes big shits.
Yeah, it takes big shits. All right.
my number 22 is Randy Johnson.
Ooh, yeah.
So many great pitchers on this list. Yep. I mean, you're talking about a 5-time Cy Young Award winner. And the fact that he's not even in my top 20, so my top 20 better be fucking good, right? Because
yeah, exactly.
But I mean, this guy is over 300 wins, 3.29 ERA, and he had over 4,000 strikeouts. You don't see players getting that, over 4,000 strikeouts. He was just amazing. Triple crown pitcher, 10-time All-Star. He's just amazing. Finally won the World Series with the Diamondbacks in 2001. I think he only pitched one perfect game and one no hitter, which, I mean, come on, that's still amazing. I think he's in Seattle's Hall of Fame, and I think the Diamondbacks retired his number, and he was inducted in 2015. But this was a guy, it was so massively impressive. I mean, you look at him and he stood about 6'10". He was like a basketball player with a cannon for an arm.
Yep.
And the players who talk about him talk about how hard it was to not only hit off of him, but to go in the box, because this was a guy that was just imposing. He was an imposing threat. And if you got hit, but can you imagine getting hit on a hit in the ass or something, or whatever the fucking hit by
a welt for days. Yeah.
Get a beanball by Randy Johnson. That's tattooed on you, man. Oh, so man. I started out in Montreal, and just like Pedro Martinez did. And this was just Randy Johnson, man. He sits at my 22 spot. He's just one of the greatest pitchers in the world.
Man. Yeah, intimidating pitcher. You think of him and like Bob Gibson. That's just like these intimidating figures. Like if I had to get in a box against Bob Gibson or Randy Johnson, I'd probably shit my pants.
Oh my God. It just, you know, they threw hard. They looked like they just like beat the shit out of people. Yeah. I mean,
and who can forget his cameo in Little Big League? I mean, my God, man.
Yeah, I've seen better acting performances. I think Griffey was a little better actor than
a little bit. No, I think Mickey Tendleton took the cake though when he said, "Welcome to the big leagues, kid." Flipped him the ball.
Did he have the big chaw in his fucking?
Classic Tendleton chaw.
Yeah.
Anyway, fantastic. Yeah, I fucking love Randy Johnson.
Yeah, dude.
Oh man. So 21 for me was a player you already talked about, Ricky Henderson. So he's a little bit higher on my list. Just got on base. Could just, I mean, you said all his accolades. So just a fantastic player. Came in just slightly higher for me, just from memories as a kid watching him especially with the A's, but also with Toronto when he went over there and and was part of their title team there. So you already said enough about Ricky, fantastic player, but he comes at number 21 there for me.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson, great player. 21 for me is just somebody you already called upon, Alex Rodriguez.
Okay.
Alex Rodriguez, I'll just leave it at that. We know what he's done. I think I remember when he broke in with Seattle, I was just like, this kid is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah. I do enjoy his commentary now. He is a part of the game still, and I think that's important because he was good for so long. And but yeah, 21 for me is Alex Rodriguez.
I see at number 20 where we picked the same person. So that's actually kind of funny how that worked out, huh?
Yeah, right.
So number 20, we both picked Greg Maddux.
Let's go.
Let's go. I mean, when you have fucking 355 wins and an ERA barely over 3.16, 3,371 strikeouts there, 5- or 8-time All-Star, 4-time Cy Young Award winner. Not only that, the fucking great fielder too, an 18-time Gold Glove winner.
Yeah.
And you have your number retired by not only the Cubs and the Braves, and you're in the Hall of Fame for both those teams, and obviously a baseball Hall of Famer. Can you say more about Greg Maddux? Just a fantastic player. I loved watching him on those Braves teams in the 90s growing up. So let's go.
Yeah. He's my number 20 and over 355 wins, 3.16 ERA. I mean, the guy has over 3,000 strikeouts, man. With him, Glavine and Smoltz, it's just, he probably was the most talented out of those guys, even though those guys are all Hall of Famers. But Maddux, he was just a finesse pitcher, and in his early days, he could have been like a power pitcher. But yeah. I don't know, he just finessed his stuff a little bit more, which was really good. But like you said, man, an 8-time All Star, 4-time Cy Young. I mean, the guy is just, oddly enough, he's never pitched a perfect game or a no-hitter, surprisingly. I believe Smoltz and Glavine have, but
good for them, all right?
You know, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about Maddux.
Yeah, I believe neither of those are going to show up on my top 25, so I'm sorry.
Same. Yeah. So, but obviously, I think we both hit the mark, man, with Greg Maddux being our top 20. So next week, we will get our top, let's see, this was 25 to 20. So next week we'll do 19 to 15.
Get it.
So stay tuned for that, everyone. Now, since we're the then and now series, we're going with the now part of the series. And we're talking about the best players today at their positions.
Bah, bah, bah.
Entering what we hope is the 22 season, whenever that's going to be.
God, I hope so.
But for matter's sake, say that it is happening right around the corner. Steve.
Yeah.
Tell me who your number 5 spot is for your top catcher.
Get ready.
Right now.
You know, I like to throw curveballs in here. Number 5 for me is the youngster out of Arizona, Dalton Varsho. Great name, right? Dalton Varsho. I think he's poised for a great year. Batting average last year was, right around 246. You know, that's usually right around what you see with a catcher. But he, has a great bat, 11 home runs, 38 RBIs, and limited action. I think he'll pump that up if he can get a full season in. I love his upside on a pathetic Diamondbacks team. So he comes in at number 5 for me. Who are you looking at?
My number 5 is Wilson Contreras.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so with Adley Rutschman coming onto the scene soon, Joey Bart, we're getting just a taste of him, and some of these, Henry Davis is around the corner, what have you, and Dylan Dingler. We're going to start seeing some guys who can hit and catch a good game. Wilson Contreras, he's a kind of a mediocre hitter. He's good for get you over about 15 to 20 home runs a season, and he calls a pretty decent game as well. He's kind of a bigger guy. But he's a good catcher. So for me, he plays for the Cubs. For me, he is my number 5 catcher in the game right now, which this list is going to be soon to change with those guys I just mentioned. This list is going to be knocked on its ass, but right now Contreras sits at my number 5.
Love it. Definitely a good pick. I was debating between him and Dalton Varsho, but definitely a solid number 5 there. Number 4, I'm going to go with Buster Posey. I'm just kidding.
Who?
He gone. Number 4 for me is going to the south side of Chicago. I'm going to go with Yasmani Grandal. Obviously, average. It's so 240 last season in 93 games, but he's got a nice pop in his bat, 23 home runs, 62 RBIs. You know, he's going to be pretty good catcher, calls a good game. I expect him to play more this coming season and obviously get the uptick more on the home runs and the RBI. So right now he's coming in at a solid number four for me. What about you? I like your number four as well.
Same, man. Yeah, Monty Grandal. It was a good signing by the Chicago White Sox. Yep. Same stuff, man. He kind of fits in the Wilson Contreras kind of thing. He has a little bit more pop to his bat. I like Grandal. I think they have a lot of good catches, a lot of good options with him. Yep. I remember at one time their main catcher was going to be Zach Collins, and Zach Collins, they drafted him pretty high back in the day. Remember? Back in the day. We're only talking about a handful of years ago, but Zach never really panned out. They're hoping he would have panned out. So, I mean, he's not even like a Sean Murphy type, which is out in Oakland.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think at this point they had to get somebody to get somewhat of a bigger bat in there. And Yasmani Grandal is pretty good. So right now, he sits as my number four catcher.
Solid. Great minds think alike.
Oh, yeah.
Number three for me, I'm going to go to Kansas City and go with Salvador Perez. Fantastic year for Perez last season. 48 home runs, 121 RBIs, 273 batting average. I don't expect him to do that same thing this year. I expect that to go, you know, the offensive numbers to go down a little bit, but he calls a great game. But we didn't get that rare combination of a great game caller and a great offensive catcher. You got a good combo. So he's coming in number three for me.
For my number three, I'm going with somebody who showed a hell of a lot of what I like to see in a catcher, and that's Will Smith for the Dodgers.
Men in Black.
Sorry. Men in Black. Yeah, definitely not that guy.
Definitely not that Will Smith.
This guy's quite a bit whiter and
yes,
shorter. Will Smith kind of broke on the scene really well for the Dodgers. He had like 25 home runs and 107 hits in 404 at-bats. I mean, he's pretty good. I mean, his RBIs aren't hugely up there, but I mean, just under 80, and his runs not hugely up there. But this is a guy that they didn't expect. Remember, Kyber Ruiz was supposed to be their catcher coming up before that big Trey Turner Scherzer trade where they shipped him off to the Nationals. But so we might see Kyber Ruiz pretty soon as well, maybe potentially on this list. But Will Smith is a catcher that can hit, and that is what we're looking for. People want the next Buster Posey. People want those kind of guys and the next JT Realmuto. And this Will Smith is on my list because, and I think he's going to stay on this list for the next few years anyways. I mean, the way he's hitting like not an aging catcher, but he's hitting like a good veteran catcher.
Right.
And he's only 26 years old. So Will Smith sits in my number three spot.
I love it. Well, coming into my number two spot is Will Smith.
and
I say that only because I could see the greatness in Will Smith because he was on my fantasy team last year. So he comes in at number two for me only because I see him continuing to grow in that catcher spot. He had 130 games last year with the Dodgers. I can see him, you know, catching a few more. Nice little bump there. I see a little jump in the RBIs, but like you said, just a solid catcher that can hit and also can also call a good game. So he's number two on my list. So for all the reasons you stated too.
Right. And number two on my list is somebody you already had in your list a little further back. And his name is Salvador Perez is my number two.
Yes.
And I'm guessing the reason why you put him back a little deeper is because he's older, right?
Yes.
He's like 30, 31 now or 32 or something like that. And that makes a lot of sense because we have seen a decrease in his play over the years, mostly due to injury.
Right.
Remember, this was the guy we always thought was really old, but he's actually
but he's not.
Because it feels like he's been around forever. Yeah. But last year, he kind of got back to what everybody remembered him being. I mean, this guy had 169 hits, 48 home runs, 273 batting average. He's a big catcher. Just slow. He's not going to kill you on the bases or be a burner behind the plate, but he catches a good game. He knows how to work with young pitchers like Brady Singer and Jackson Cowher, who they have coming up. And he's a guy that they're going to look to in the future. And he's going to help people like Bobby Witt Jr. and those kind of guys get acclimated, you know, Nicky Lopez to get acclimated with how the big leagues are supposed to be. And Salvador Perez is, he's kind of been known to be kind of like a David Ortiz kind of guy.
Yeah.
very, yep. very likable in the clubhouse. They yep. love him. A member of that do. Whole team that they got rid of after they kept him around, and for good reason, because he is the guy. He is a clubhouse guy. He is a franchise guy. He's the guy. Yep. He's like a Yadier Molina in St. Louis. You know, he's not going to be the Hall of Famer you want him to be, or the guy that's going to pump it up with stats, but he's a guy that just does everything right.
Exactly.
On top of having a good personality. But so my number two, because I still think he has a little juice left in him, is Salvador Perez.
Okay. I like it. Which brings us to the number one spot, where you and I picked the same person. So JT Realmuto there.
Hell yeah.
The Phillies. He's when you think of a catcher, he's the first one that comes to mind. He's the face of catching right now in Major League Baseball. And he can hit. Calls a good game, handles the pitching staff well. He's what you want. Solid batting average, .263. So he's what when I think of catching, he's the first name that comes to mind. So number one on my list.
Same. He's the first one that comes to mind. It's almost criminal to think how bad the Marlins just did this big fire sale. And
Giancarlo Stanton, Yelich,
Ozuna at the time. And then Realmuto was kind of the last guy to leave that team.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, whatever. I mean, Realmuto was always good, you know, a good young catcher, of course. But everybody was like, well, it's not as bad as losing Yelich or Stanton or whatever.
Right.
And here's Realmuto ever since he left. And even when he was with them, he's a productive player.
Yep.
He's not going to blow you away. Like I said, he's not a guy like Buster Posey,
right,
who is just the art of Buster Posey is amazing. Yep. I mean, just everything he does, from the way he calls the game, from the way he approaches hitting at the plate, it's just different. But one thing about Realmuto is he's just a good catcher, and he's in that mold that's coming up, the Adley Rutschmans and those kind of guys that are coming up, where they're going to be hitting just as well as they're going to be catching. And I can't wait for this new era of catchers. And it's led by JT Realmuto. Everybody we already mentioned, maybe not Will Smith, but everybody but Will Smith, JT Realmuto and Will Smith are the guys that are going to be on this list a little further down the line, where the rest are kind of that part of that old school catching.
Yep.
So yeah, Realmuto is definitely my number one and your number one now.
So you're telling me James McCann's not going to be on your list?
Who?
Come on, he's great, right?
Yeah. He might suck ass, but he's fucking smart. He's smart as a whip, man. When you think about
businessman,
it.
Businessman, he made his money.
Yeah, he made his money. He'd be laughing all the way to the bank, man.
Exactly, like Kirk Cousins.
Oh, my God, yes. what a ridiculous, whatever. We'll get into one of those one day. But so this is part of our Then and Now series, everybody, kind of moving for the next 5-6 weeks here.
Yep.
Next week, we will be doing, like I said, our then sit from 19 to 15. And then now part of the show will be the first baseman. We'll get into the top first baseman right now in Major League Baseball.
Can't wait. It's going to fuck hard, man.
Oh, it's going to fuck hard, yeah.
Oh, totally. Shall we take a walk over to the corner? Of collections, that is.
Yeah, walk us over, Steve.
All right. Man, that was a short walk. Hey. We're here. Hey. All right. Looking at cards for this week. I went with the obscure for myself. Up for me is Lee Smith, the fantastic reliever for the Cubs. Cubs always come to mind. Just a fantastic reliever. Lee Smith is up $3.43 or 66.09% to an average of $8.62 a card. So his 1982 Topps rookie number 452 is up, as well as his 2000 Greats of the Game number 79 is up. Down for me this week is Jim Thome, old thumbhead. He's down.
That's what I was laughing about. I was like, hey, old thumbhead came back out of the mold.
Exactly. He's down $15.58 or $68.60% to an average of $7.13 a card. His 1992 Topps rookie card number 768 is going dirt cheap now on eBay for a buy it now for $1.17. So those are my up and down for the week. Who are you looking at? Old Thumbhead.
Old Thumbhead. Remember when we used to watch from MLB Network?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there he is. Old Thumbhead.
Old Thumbhead. Up for me is, this is last week was our biggest one to date. Yeah. But this week is the biggest one today, and it's Jackie Robinson.
Ooh,
and obviously, okay, with Hall of Fame talk and with his birthday and everything that's going on in the news with this, the vandalizing of the plaque, Jackie Robinson is up big time. So get this. So his, and we're not talking about, you know, we're talking straight old cards, not the remanufactured bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's up $776.70. Which is a markup of 251.53%.
Oh, yeah.
So that brings his total market value of his cards being $945.73.
Man, that fucks hard, dude.
So, and we're talking about old school stuff. Yeah. I mean, his 49 Bowman number 50, his 55 Tops 50, his number 50, his 56 Tops number 30. Dude, this guy's... His stuff in the 40s and 50s are just incredibly skyrocketing, and it fucks hard. It fucks so hard, it's not going to call you back after.
Oh, dude. That sounds about right.
Down for me, Manny Ramirez, which this is a big drop as well. He's down, and this is because the steroiders took a hit with the Hall of Fame. He's down $92.30.
Oof.
Which is oh God, no.
Oh, man.
Yeah, old Thumbhead does not approve.
Old Thumbhead, no bueno.
So down $92.30, that's about an 84.39% drop, which leaves his market price right now dramatically falling $17.07. So if you want to buy up, Manny Ramirez, buy now. We're talking his 92 Bowman rookie card, number 532, his 92 Tops, number 15. And of course, one of my favorites is 02 Fleer Authentics back card.
Love a good back card.
Yeah, man, good deep pull with the Lee Smith.
Thanks.
Great deep pull, man. Wow.
You know, Lee Smith just popped into my mind, the baseball player, that is.
Right.
Just popped right into my mind. I was like, you know, I should look up Lee Smith, see how he's doing.
Dude. He just one of the best closers, one of the best relief pitchers there was.
Of all time. Yeah. So
some good love for Lee Smith, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's gotta be on here every so often. You know, you gotta pull one of those obscures out every so often. So Topps Bunt, are we looking at anything good right now or not? Not that I can think of.
Dude, not much right now. They got the
have they pulled those mega packs out, those mega deals again? Or are they finally giving up on that?
No, they're gonna pull those out once every couple weeks, I'm guessing.
All right.
They got the irreplaceable series.
I missed that one. I think that's a month long one. I missed the one from yesterday.
You can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Exuberance is actually not bad. Those aren't bad cards.
Yeah.
The VIP bundles came in today. So
I gotta check that out.
Okay. Well, if you bought cards, you get a status, right? So
yeah.
Somebody, if you get, I don't know, is there better than gold? Is it diamond?
I don't know. I'm gold, I think. So.
Bro, me too. I'm the same way. So I got the Topps Tech in. I'm not a big fan of the Topps Tech, I got to tell you. So the digital market is crazy right now. I did write a piece for Through the Fence Baseball, kind of talking about the Topps moving, getting bought by Fanatics, which you and I talked about weeks ago. Yep. And the model that Fanatics is presenting is absolutely amazing. Because, so get this. What I found out, the reason why Fanatics is buying up, they're actually buying up Panini too, basketball.
Really?
Yeah. They want the rights to that. So
man, they're gonna monopolize, huh?
Well, but I found out what they're doing. So they're gonna probably keep it. It's safe to say they're probably gonna keep the names intact because it's already why change it? Something that's already good. Why fix it if it's not broken?
Yeah.
And so it's gonna be a one-stop shop for Fanatics. And basically, Steve, if you were to buy a card, we'll say physical, right?
Okay.
When you buy the card, their model, they're going to create something like an app or what have you, where it's going to grade the card. If you want to sell the card right then and there, a marketplace to sell it, they're just going to give, it's a one-stop shop for everything.
Dude, I love it.
And it's going to do everything for you. And what I thought was amazing is it's going to put a lot of these middlemen that are already in this business out of fucking job, which is great because I think PSA, I think it has too much of a stranglehold on that. And PSA is going to be around for a while, but there's too many middlemen. There's too many middlemen for grading, for buying, for selling. It's going to cut all that bullshit out and it's going to get down to the real fucking dick and balls. of the whole market. So what Fanatics is doing is creating is going to present a model. It's a direct to consumer model.
Cool.
So it's great, and I think I could see them teaming up with eBay. The guy if you ever read my article, go ahead and read it because that actually gives some pretty good history into it.
You know what, I will.
The guy who Ruben, the guy's last name is Ruben. He actually sold this e-commerce. It's logistics and retail, like retail selling and buying and what have you. Anyways, eBay wanted to buy this patent he had in 2011. They bought it for like over like $1 or $2 billion worth. Whew. And they found out because they wanted to compete with Amazon. Well, that ended up not happening. So they're like, fuck, I guess that was just a bad expense. I'm like, dude, what? Like, oh my God. So
this guy, money. Yeah.
So they threw it up on a fire sale. Ruben bought it back. And then he kind of like, because it was one of his like upstart first companies he's ever did. And he's still making money off of it. Anyways, fast forward to now, I still think he's in bed with eBay. So I can guarantee, because we're getting a lot of our numbers from eBay sales, eBay's trends are. And I'm telling you, that's going to be a part of the one-stop shop of buying, trading, whatever you want to do. Yeah, you could trade also with his model. So it's interesting. So anyways, in a nutshell, to just get to that, there's a lot of good stuff from Fanatics coming soon. So where you and I were glooming and dooming about it, it's actually not as bad as we thought. So,
dude, I love it. I love it.
Hell yeah, bro.
Sorry, just pulled up your article. Did you mean to have the dick pull autographed card right there next to your article?
No, my editor threw that out there, but I thought that was awesome.
Dude, that's what's up. Oh, man, that's what's up.
Yeah, dick pull.
The dick pull. Oh, man, I think I joked with you a few months back. I picked up a dick pull 1977 Tops or something like that. Yeah.
Well, isn't it? It's funny too because it's like when I went to that, I was like, "Oh, interesting choice for
Choice for the picture, huh?"
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Oh man, that's fucking funny. Anyway, let's get the candles out, shall we? Shall we celebrate a birthday?
Hell yeah, dude.
Well, we talked about Jackie Robinson earlier, and all, you know, his birthday was January 31st. Another Hall of Famer born on January 31st is Nolan Ryan. So happy birthday to pitching great Nolan Ryan, born on January the 31st, 1947.
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan is a World Series champ with the New York Mets in 1969, where he started his career. 8-time All-Star, 11-time strikeout leader, 324 career wins, and obviously 5,714 strikeouts, a number that I don't think will ever be eclipsed.
Nope.
For strikeouts, and he also pitched seven no hitters, which is a phenomenal stat. A little known fact though about Nolan Ryan is he never won a Cy Young Award. Can you believe that?
No shit.
Yeah, unbelievable, right?
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. I was looking through all of his accolades, and there's no Cy Young on there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Just no Cy Young Award. Well, I mean that makes sense. I mean, you know, they're some of the greatest pitchers. It's kind of crazy because there are some pitchers out there who have never won Cy Youngs. But one thing, when you look at Nolan Ryan's, you can say, oh, he pitched 7-0 fucking hitters.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, you know. Happy birthday to Nolan Ryan.
Hey, happy birthday, Nolan.
Yeah.
Well, shit, dude, this was a fucking action packed show.
Dude, it was. Oh, it was fun, man. I need a nap after that show.
I know. Me too, dude. Well, first I'm going to go have a beer.
Yeah.
And then fucking pass out.
Sounds good, man.
Okay, we will see you all next week.
Deuces.